Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show from sunny, red-hot Southern California. Welcome in. I got some Ron Rivera sound I think you'll love. Doc Rivers was on First Take today. What he's saying about Ben Simmons feels like some pent-up energy around the NBA. Tom Brady playing to the rest of the pro football crowd. Charlie Weiss is going to join us. Kalani Sitake, of course, the head coach of BYU, will join us. And Daniel Jeremiah will join us in the third and final hour. Move the Sticks is the podcast. DJ will join us, of course. Move the Sticks is now on the NFL Network. So we got a bunch to get to. The hardest thing to do, I think, in anyone's job space or anyone's sport of choice is to get honest, legit, quality feedback. Lots of people in my position say they want feedback, but what they really want is affirmation for them thinking and being awesome, right? Everybody, well, give me some feedback. What they really want is you to say, you know what, you're perfect, your show's awesome, here's a bunch more money. Legit feedback, legit conversation about things you're not doing well. I think inherently all of us have this defensiveness to it, right? You push back against it. If you ever go to therapy, like in therapy, you got to kind of surrender yourself to somebody saying like, you know, you're actually wrong here. You know, here's actually the issue here. Because if you just push back against it, like what's the point of therapy? When you're trying to fix relationships, you got to hear people out. And if you're trying to improve as an athlete, you got to see the things you don't do well and try and correct those things. Right? Aaron Rodgers had some interesting quotes yesterday. And here's the thing. When I mention Aaron Rodgers, there'll be a portion of you that'll be turned off. Ugh, Aaron Rodgers again. Another topic about Aaron Rodgers, I'm done. There'll be a portion of you that go, ugh, Aaron Rodgers, he thinks he's so much smarter. And then there'll be a portion of you that go like, I like Aaron Rodgers. He tends to actually say what he thinks. Even if I don't agree with it, he doesn't try and kiss butt. He just says what he thinks, even if it's to his own detriment. This is Aaron Rodgers talking about the state of sports media today.
I think all these people who are on these shows now believe they're celebrities and then believe that they have this platform to, you know, use it to say whatever the hell they want. And that's how they garner the attention. That's how they get promotions. That's how they get to be on multiple networks. That's how they, you know, get their name out there and get a blue check mark and get to go to the Met Ball and whatever the hell's going on. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the society we're in now. It's when I first got in the league in 2005 and you got in there in 2006, I mean, social media wasn't a thing unless you had a MySpace, and it was all about who was in your top five or top 10 if they expanded it, what kind of music you had in the background. And it wasn't about, you know, your social media following, your likes, your, you know, how many views on a page. You know, I think it's different. It's all about how many impressions you can have for things that you say. So what's going to, you know, it's not going to be the, you know, the relax, we're fine, this is 1 week, it was a dud, we're going to bounce back. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't move the needle for anybody. But you start saying some outlandish things about, you know, what I did in the off season and me wanting to be on Jeopardy and not play ball and all this other, you know, ridiculousness that Tom Fanning, you know, told me was out there, which I really didn't see myself. You know, I just think that's the state of the media that we're in.
It's interesting. It's an interesting commentary on the media. It's much better than the dismissiveness of the Donald Trump fake news thing, right? It's the, hey, here's what I see it is that, and look, I would tell you, I think he's dead to nuts accurate on a bunch of different things that he may or may not even know about. Like I told you guys all the time, I consider myself a radical centrist. I call BS wherever I see it. It doesn't matter, you know, who it is. I also try and make phone calls to people in the league, and I know somebody I'm most asked. I'll give you an example. The Bears today named Justin Fields their starting quarterback. I wondered if Andy was really hurt or if Justin had done something to earn it or if it was the public pressure of playing Justin Fields. And I haven't heard, I talked to a legit Bears source who I was standby who said unequivocally, Andy Dalton's hurt. We don't really want to start Justin against the Cleveland Browns defense. Their front seven is nasty. But we're going to because he's our backup and Andy Dalton's hurt. And that's what we're going to do. And we'll see how it goes. The big question for them heading forward is what happens if he's not playing that well and Andy Dalton comes back healthy? You know, or what happens if he plays terrible and do you want to use Nick Foles? Like, these are all really interesting kind of discussions. But the point is that what I try and do to separate myself from others, and I think all of us at Fox Sports Radio that I know of, this is what we do, is you talk to people that know way more than we know. If you've been doing it long enough, you know people, or you can very easily meet people with every team in every sport and actually know what's going on. Call somebody. But I thought he made some great points about the celebrity status when people, you become a studio gangster. Look, I've been in that realm when I did a lot of studio for basketball for a year. I didn't like it only because you have to go out and do the games, meet with the coaches, meet with the players, be at practices in order to really know what's going on. Aaron said this about giving a platform to people who don't even know him.
It's absolute give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus, my work habits. People that have not been around me, they're not in my life. I don't have communication with them or not in the locker room. I mean, that's just, it's, you know, it's so ridiculous that people get a platform to do this. And it's the same type of people.
Aaron addresses the flawed nature of the storyline created about him.
What's crazy to me is to let one storyline, right, by a person who has no contact with me, that zero relationship, that becomes some sort of like narrative that's out there that now I somehow don't care about ball because of my Zen attitude in the off season.
Yeah, he's obviously not happy with Cowher, who has likely never been to a Packers practice, has no relationship, hasn't talked to his agent, and that's what that's about. I will tell you my experience at CBS is that the broadcast teams that I worked with, many of them were just that, in that you come in, now they come in on a Friday, and they meet with you and whatever, but Cowher doesn't do that anymore. Doesn't go, he's never done that. He doesn't call the games. So I think this is, he makes a bunch of good points to where you're like, you're right. I think the problem with Aaron has always been, it's not what he's saying, it's how he's saying it. And even if he's very, very matter of fact, and I've run into this in my life, it can appear to be condescending. Like you know more because you actually do know more. It is ridiculous, but he uses the word ridiculous, which of course makes everybody defensive. I hear these things from Aaron Rodgers, and I immediately think that most of the people he's talking about, the people on the daily debate shows, the people who are in studio that don't come out to games, people who talk about football and don't know him and don't try and get to know him or don't try and get to know what's actually going on, those people will only act defensive. Well, this is Aaron because we're saying things that are true. And look, I don't think Cowher was wrong for what he said because his body language did suck. And Aaron has to take some sort of accountability for, dude, I get it. You had a bad game, but God, your body language is bad. It just is. And of course, Aaron gets defensive just like anybody else. And he strikes back instead of saying, you know what? I hear you. I got to do a better job about my body language. Just like the media needs to go, you know what? I hear you. We got to do a better job of creating these faux celebrities because they're debate show hosts. or talk radio sports hosts. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports recovery, healthy testosterone levels, and boosts energy. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off with promo code Doug. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive. Buyer, do you buy into anything Aaron Rodgers is saying? Do you think there's pushback? You know, his whole thing is like, look, people are freaking out and having these comments. They don't know anything about me. I do think that some level to that is actually important. It doesn't, you don't have to be at practice. You don't have to know all that matters is how you look and how you play and how it feels. And it felt like you were disinterested. It felt like you were disgusted. It felt like you guys weren't ready to play. I don't think you have to have been to every practice and have a relationship to say those things. I do think he's really bothered by the idea that he didn't care whether they won or lost.
Aaron Rodgers is just never know. I mean, it's just, I don't know if he just always has a chip on his shoulder that damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of thing. So when he says it, but I mean, I do think you have to have, if you're the leader of the team, if you're the quarterback, you kind of have to take on the responsibility of representing the other 52 guys or whatever. So when you're sitting there being dismissive or whatever, I do think that reflects on the team. So there's responsibility there.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Jay Stu, I know you're chomping at the bit this topic. What did you think about what Aaron Rodgers was saying?
I'm fascinated. I think I told you this morning that it's a great day to be in sports talk radio because I think Aaron Rodgers kind of put a mirror up to us and kind of made us take a hard look at ourselves. We just don't hear this. And I think that a lot of people feel this way, athletes and whatnot, but few are able to articulate it the way Aaron is. And, you know, he just has that attitude like, I don't need you. Most people think that they want a job at some point, so they cater to the media. It's a fascinating discussion, and I like it.
I do as well. I enjoy it. Again, part of his thing is he's given the media feedback. Can he take feedback himself is a big question, which I don't know the answer to, right? Like, if we admit, like, he's not wrong, if we said, like, look, you're not wrong, but your body language sucks. When you lose, it just looks like you're mad at everybody and you're completely disengaged. Like, that would be quality feedback that I don't know if he would take back in return, whether you know him or don't know him. We can all kind of guess who he's talking about, right? He's talking about Skip, Stephen A., those type of guys, and probably Bill Cowher, because Cowher was the one who said he played like he didn't care, and he was calling out what he did in the offseason. Although, I'll be honest with you, I know Aaron a little bit. I called out what he did in the offseason, and you know, I don't think you could really argue otherwise. Whether it's perception or reality, perception does become reality. Of course, he worked in the offseason. But if you go back 2 years ago when they drafted Jordan Love, all reports were he came back to that camp, you know, like he had put on 10, 15 pounds of muscle. He looked completely different. Whereas this year, like he looks thinner. He looks a little older. He's gone out and gotten engaged and hiked mountains and whatever and showed up. I'm sure he conditioned. I'm sure he trained. But the perception that he allowed to be out there was he wasn't sure what he wanted to do by his own admission, if he wanted to play, if he didn't want to play. And that allows all of us to speculate on how hard he worked. And then you throw out a complete stinker week one. And I don't think criticism of his assumed preparation is unfair in any way. You can tell me, Jay Stu, and I agree with you, that he's putting a mirror up to us. We got to put a mirror back to him. And does he like how we see him or how he's truly viewed?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I heard this, and I thought it was interesting. There's been a lot of discussion about the taunting penalties in the NFL, and I kind of told you yesterday that, like, look, it's one of those things where it's not popular on social media to say you're pro-taunting penalty, but there's clearly an energy behind it, right? John Merrow is the owner of the Giants. He said he wanted taunting out of the game. He kind of spearheaded this thing. He's the only guy to kind of speak out on it. Ron Rivera is the head coach of the Washington football team. He's also on the competition committee. He had this to say about the reasoning behind these taunting penalties.
The idea behind the taunting rule is to prevent the bigger things. Okay, we've had this example where one guy taunts a guy and then the guy comes back for a little payback, and next thing you know, you got a big fight on your hands. You got guys coming from left field hitting each other, you know. And that's really what you're really, to me, I think the referees are really looking for. They're just trying to get it quieted down.
Here's Rivera on the difference between celebrating and taunting.
We're role models, so if you're going to do something, do it within the rules. You know, get up and do your ball drop. You know, do your dab or your dance or whatever, but don't do it towards somebody. You know, don't step over somebody and drag your leg over somebody. That's what we're trying to prevent. You can do all, I mean, guys intercept it, run all the way down to the other end zone. That's fine. Okay? Those things, you know, we're not trying to stop the players from having fun. We're just trying to make sure we don't end up with a brawl on our hands.
Interesting, right? Like, he's okay. I hate the NFL thing where they all run down to the end zone and take a picture together when they recover a fumble. But it is a thing, and as long as it's not in the face of the other team, that's okay. I think a good portion of it is also that whether it's college coaches or pro coaches, they see some of these videos of these one-on-one camps, and it's not what football is about, right? And there's always a limit there to where there's a difference in celebrating and taunting and trying to do it the right way. And like, look, any point of emphasis early in the season, this is what it looks like. It's what it looks like. And eventually, it finds kind of that right middle ground. We'll talk to college coach Kalani Sitake, who's the head coach of BYU. We'll ask his thoughts on taunting rules, targeting rules, etc. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. He's the head coach of BYU. His name's Kalani Sitake. He's kind enough to spend some time with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Coach, how are you?
Doing great, Doug. How you doing?
I'm awesome. I want to play for you something earlier today. Joel Klatt's our lead college football analyst on Fox Sports. He had this to say about your school, BYU, and the college football playoff expansion, which, of course, is currently being discussed.
By the way, the College Football Playoff Board of Managers are meeting today, and they're talking about expansion. It's not going to go through today because of the SEC and their growth and expansion with Texas and Oklahoma, but very quickly, it will happen at some point. It's going to be great for the sport, in particular if we can grow to 10, 12, or maybe even 14 teams, because think of all the teams that would still have a massive amount of interest. Think about BYU fans right now. Thinking about a 12-team playoff, they'd be like, we're right in the hunt. We're 3-0, two ranked wins. BYU would be right in the hunt for the playoff. That would be good for the sport, folks.
Why do you think, Coach? I mean, look, based upon substance, right? You beat Utah, who was your arch rival, was undefeated. You beat Arizona State, who was ranked and undefeated. But you guys are still ranked 15th. Like, the whole question for you last year was, who'd you play? Now you've played good teams and you've beaten, you know, two of them. Why doesn't BYU, your program, command the respect, at least in terms of the early season rankings, that your results demand?
Well, I think the first thing I want to mention is that I'm only focused on our fourth game right now. And as a coach and as a program, we're only focused on this week. That's all we care about. And I get why everyone's talking about the playoffs and everything like that, but my focus is on that. Now, as a sports fan and as someone that wants things to be better, I'll say that there's so many deserving teams and programs that would love to be in the hunt for a championship, and that's why you see so much passion and energy in March Madness, is because everyone feels like they have a shot at it. And so if there's a way that you can kind of get that same type of feeling with college football, that's already a very popular sport to begin with, I think it'll just really push it to being the top sport in our country. That's what I really believe. But on a fan point, I think that makes a lot of sense. Gives everybody a shot, just like basketball does. But in a coach's part, all we care about is this one game and focus on South Florida this week.
And with all due respect to South Florida, I want to talk the ASU game as well as your new quarterback. I got a bunch of things I want to get to. I do want to ask about the Big 12. When you guys were selected and when you were sent the letter and it became official, inside your coaches' offices, How much does that change who you're recruiting and how you're preparing for the future of BYU football?
Our job right now is focused on trying to get the best fit for BYU, and that's someone, a young man that's going to believe in the mission of our school and of our team and our culture. And that's what it comes down to. And so I don't know what that does with the rankings and recruiting and all that stuff that I never really pay attention to anyways.
Sure.
I'm focused on developing young men into becoming the best versions of themselves, and hopefully that gives them a chance to play at the next level. But more than anything, it gives them a chance to grow up and mature and become great contributors to the community. That's what we're focused on. But I don't know what exactly that's going to do, because if I want to be honest with you, on Friday, the day before our Utah game, they announced the Big 12 announcement, and there was a lot of energy, a lot of excitement from the fans and from a lot of people in the administration and athletic department. I go into a team meeting and I say, "Hey guys, this is official. We're in the Big 12 starting 2023." The players didn't really care. They were like, "Hey, let's move on to Utah. Let's get ready. We need to prep on this game, and that's happening tomorrow." And you know how exciting that was for me as a coach to have a team that's so driven and focused. I was so excited. I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." You know, so I'm really lucky that I get to coach those type of young men, and those are the guys that I'm looking for in our program, and the guys that I want to mentor, the guys that I want to be involved with. And there's a lot of great people out there that would fit this program, and hopefully with this announcement and being in partnership with Big 12 and those awesome universities, that maybe we get our message out and people can know a little bit more about our school and our program, and maybe kind of lean an ear our way so we can tell them about it.
I want to ask you about your quarterback. Obviously, Jaron comes in, and he's got to replace Zach, who's the number two pick in the draft, who had an unbelievable season. And he's a different player, right? He's a fantastic athlete, can run it, can throw it as well. What has it been like to throw him into this fire of three straight high-level Pac-12 opponents to start your season?
It's been great because we felt really, really comfortable with our depth at quarterback to begin with, and the one that helped set the standard was Zach Wilson himself. And so the way he prepares for games, the way that he prepares as a quarterback and as an individual and as a leader, well, I mean, I don't know what better way to get the rest of the team ready than to have actually his backups that are going to take over, learn from him and watch him and kind of follow in his ways, you know. So the influence that Zach has had in our program has been great, but you marry that with the wonderful mentoring and tutoring that they're getting from our offensive coordinator and Aaron Roderick, and I think it's going to be a successful start for us. And you know, it's not like Jaron played error free. He made a lot of mistakes, and he knows that. But we're trying to find ways to utilize his strengths and get him in a position where he can have as much success as possible. And we're starting to see that. But we also feel really comfortable with a lot of our guys and the other quarterbacks and the other ball carriers and receivers on our team, where we feel like we can really have opportunities to flourish and be better and be more efficient as an offense. That's what we're trying to get done and get better as a team in all three of our phases.
Yeah, you guys couldn't score in the second half. And then, you know, the final drive when you needed points to beat Arizona State, you don't throw the ball the entire drive. And then Baylor Romney comes in and throws the game-winning touchdown pass, right? His only pass so far of the season. What's that like to have the headset on and be like, "Okay, we're gonna change something here down at the end of a drive in order to win this game"?
Well, you know, we talked about it and discussed the options as the coaches, and felt really comfortable with what A-Rod wanted to do, Aaron Roderick wanted to do, and he had a lot of confidence in Baylor Romney, and so do I. And it's just nice when you get the next man up. Jaron got banged up, and so it was good to have the next quarterback come in, and you don't have to worry about closing or minimizing the playbook. That the playbook is actually open, and we can use every play. We practiced it well, and that's good comfort to have. And then to trust your players to get it done, and Baylor got it done and sealed the win for us. So I give a lot of credit to our players, the preparation, but a lot of credit to the coaches and getting them ready as well.
I want to ask you a question. Obviously, you've been at a place like the Naval Academy. Now you're at BYU. You know, places where there is a higher standard in terms of if you want to represent the school and play football. There's been questions about what name, image, and likeness would do to college sports. Now, we're only a couple months into this thing, but of course, your school, you got walk-ons that are getting name, image, and likeness deals, so their fees are being covered, right? You even have that on women's sports as well. Have you noticed any difference in the players with the NIL deals that have come to completion for BYU?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities for them to make money and to, you know, get some benefits that help them. Most of it comes in forms of, like, you know, small things like food and you know, like some swag, some gear and things like that. But we're not seeing anything too crazy. But I think that's okay with what we have going on. The main thing that we wanted to make sure that I was hoping NIL could do, me personally, is that just take care of student debt and the student loans when people graduate from school, specifically student athletes and walk-ons that pay their own way through school. They spend so much time preparing for their various sports, and a lot of times they go into debt. And so if there's any way that we can relieve them from that and the stress of having that debt when they graduate, that's what I appreciate. And I'm glad that our school has really helped trying to get that you know, just trying to help our relieve stress on our walk-ons, especially and the players that may get into debt and may get into financial struggle right after graduation.
You mentioned your team's depth. Obviously, that's the challenge, right? When you play this level of opponent, and whatever people think about South Florida, like they got some dudes there, right? And this is the fourth straight high-level team in terms of athlete where you can't just roll out and be better than your opponent. That sometimes you are based upon anybody's schedule in football. How has your team held up to the to this really early, really front-loaded schedule so far this season?
Well, I think the biggest concern that we had was football is a violent game, and it's really physical, and so you're going to have people that around the third, fourth game that are banged up, and so there's a difference between playing hurt and not able to play and being injured. So it's for us to be mindful of our players' well-being, but also see how much they can push if it's safe for them to do so. And sometimes we're going to have to make the tough decision and even save the player from themselves and making a bad decision of performing when they shouldn't be. So that's what we're getting into. But it's not like that's any different than anywhere else. But for us, playing that high level of football right at the beginning of the season, we're not really given that much time to really rest and to heal up. Especially when we're going against, you know, a team like South Florida with a lot of athletes. And when it comes down to it, the game of football, regardless of how your schedule forms up in the beginning or the middle or the end, you have to have this high level of appreciation for the game, which means that you respect everybody that you play against, and you really respect who you are as a program, as a team, and make sure that you perform at your best every week. There's things that we did in week 1, 2, and 3 that I really like, but man, there's some things that I think we can really improve on and get better, and I'm really impatient when it comes to things like that. And so hopefully we can get our team playing and being more effective and more efficient as a group all together and play a better game in week 4. That's what we're trying to get to, and I feel like we can play better, and there's nothing wrong with demanding it from your team and demanding from your coaches. And so we're going to have that goal in mind, and hopefully we can reach that when we play South Florida this Saturday.
Tyler made a play to kind of say, I mean, you may look back and say that saved our season. Not that your season was going to be bad, but I mean, saved a perfect season where it's an interception. And it wasn't just the effort to get back and make a play, but to get a strip and get the football back. I know you have a great relationship with him. I know you think he's a special, spectacular athlete, but that type of play, what does it say about Tyler as a kid?
Oh, he's a stud, and I love being his coach, and I love the effort that he gives. We feel like you can overcome a lot of mistakes with high energy and with effort. And he is a great example of that on that one play. Obviously, we don't teach the jump in the air and punch the ball out type deal. I don't know if we even work that, but we do teach the fundamentals and techniques of the game, and then we allow our players to go out and just execute. And the fact that he had that mindset of just of hustling as hard as he can and trying to make a play for the team, just making a tackle would have been sufficient enough for us, right, as coaches. But the fact that he went in there and had the mindset to just, hey, I'm going to jump up and try to force something here and to poke the ball out, and then to have Jaron hustling behind him and to have a quick recovery. I get to coach some wonderful young men, and I'm so honored that I get to be here with those guys. And they make my life better, man. And I have these young men that just believe in each other, and they love each other. They love what they represent and who they represent on the field and off the field. And so I'm just going to keep trying to promote them to be their best self, and hopefully I can get the most out of them, because I know they're getting them. They're definitely influencing me in a positive way.
Well, listen, it's interesting because I'm sure some of that is just inherently who they are and how they were raised. But also that's coaching, too, not pouting, right? Where Jalen throws the interception, he doesn't pout. He makes and they both make a play on the ball. That is, in fact, coaching where, you know, you make a mistake, but you got to try and make up for it. And they did. I know you got a crazy week with South Florida, and then you got the short week with Utah State. Then you got Boise, and then you got Baylor. It's an unbelievable schedule. Your team has played magnificently so far. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck against the Bulls this week.
We're going to have a lot of fun and appreciate the game. Thank you. Thank you for the time, Doug.
Yeah, it's Kalani Sitake. He's a tremendous coach. And BYU is, last year was, hey, they're not doing it against a good enough schedule. This year, I get Utah lost back-to-back games. Utah's a high-level football team. Kyle Whittingham, of course, played at BYU, is a remarkably well-respected coach. Arizona State's got dudes as well, right? South Florida, not as good as the others, but talented. Utah State, not to the Utah or Arizona State level, but that is an in-state rivalry, which cranks up the, and on the road in Logan, and then Boise, and then Baylor, and then Wazoo, and then Virginia, and then USC on the road. Like, their schedule is ridiculous. And I don't know if it happens, but if they finish undefeated, there's absolutely no reason they should not be in the college football playoff ahead of, I mean, pick other team, you know, that goes undefeated from even in Oklahoma. Look, I love the Big 12. It's my league, but Oklahoma goes undefeated. That schedule's not going to be as difficult or more difficult, with the exception of the fact they'll have to win a Big 12 championship game, than BYU's.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Buyer.
Right, let's get to it, Dan. Buyer, what do you
Buyer.
Got?
Doug, the game today is...
Real news, fake news.
All right, real news or fake news, Doug. A vote will take place next week by the College Football Playoff Board of Managers, which includes presidents and chancellors, to expand the College Football Playoff.
That the vote is next week?
Yes.
I think... It will not. I don't think it's going to be held next week. I thought they couldn't. I'm going to say fake news.
You are fake news.
That is correct. Now, talks did take place today with the College Football Playoff Management Committee, and those talks will actually continue next week in Chicago. And the Board of Managers, again, which includes the chancellors and presidents, were supposed to meet in person in Chicago next week. That will not happen. They will meet via Zoom. So the 12-team expansion that we thought was going to be a sure thing before we knew that Texas and Oklahoma were going to leave for the SEC, now has been put on hold. Executive Director Bill Hancock did release a statement saying that there remain issues to be discussed, so the management committee will meet next week in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that you have the Power Five and the SEC, and then you have the other players, and do they go to eight? Some want more than that. They want guarantees. Basically, what they want is a guarantee of the Power Five will get five of the eight. You know, and that would include the Big 12 in the new Power Five. I guess that's therein lies the rub, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and also because when Bob Bowlesby was on the subcommittee, when he agreed to expand the playoff to 12, thought that Texas and Oklahoma were going to be in his conference, and there was no alliance at that time. And now there's TV networks being involved. So this, I don't think this is as much of a shock that they're going to need more time on this. And we don't even know if it's going to be 12. It could be something different in the end. But from what was happening 3 months ago, a lot has changed since then.
A lot has changed.
Real news or fake news, Doug? New York Giants head coach Joe Judge has the best odds to be the first head coach to be fired in the NFL, according to BetOnline.
I think that's real news.
You are fake news.
It's Zach Taylor of the Cincinnati Bengals, 7-2. Judge is close, though. He and Mike Zimmer of the Vikings listed at 9-2 to be the first coach fired this season.
Has Taylor done a bad job? I know last year they had some issues with the locker room, but has he done a bad job this year?
Well, they beat Minnesota in week one, which maybe is why Mike Zimmer is up on this list. Matt Nagy, by the way, is 11-2. Urban Meyer, 6-1.
There's zero chance.
Yeah.
You're literally burning money if you think Urban Meyer's going to be fired anytime soon.
Real news or fake news, Doug? Kick returner Devin Hester has made the original list of 122 players for the Pro Football Hall of Fame for the class of 2022.
That's real news.
They're real and they're spectacular.
Yes, along with Devin Hester, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, DeMarcus Ware, all first-time eligible for the class in the modern era.
Is Devin Hester a Hall of Famer in your mind?
I think he will be at some point. He will not be a first, second, or third ballot Hall of Famer.
I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
Can I give you my logic why?
Yes.
I understand he's going to go down in many people's book as the greatest returner of all time, right? The problem with that is he's really not. Most guys who are great returners were so valuable in some other part of the game, cornerback, safety, but more likely wide receiver or even running back, that they didn't return kicks. It's like putting a middle reliever, the best middle reliever in the history of baseball, into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, there's a reason he wasn't a starter. There's a reason he's not a closer. There's a reason Devin Hester wasn't a cornerback and couldn't play wide receiver. You know, whereas Deion Sanders, he stopped returning kicks because he was too valuable as a cornerback. He didn't want to get hit and hurt.
Doug, real news or fake news? Timberwolves center Karl-Anthony Towns tweeted WTF after news broke of the team firing president Gerson Rosas.
That's real news.
They're real and they're spectacular.
Yeah, tweeting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday after the news broke today. Looking forward to the weekend, maybe not so much. I think other players may have had that same response as training camp starts next week for Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, now is when you fire him? That's so weird. You know, what would the logic behind firing that guy now be?
Yeah. Real news or fake news, Doug? Lakers guard Russell Westbrook is producing a documentary about the history of point guards in the NBA over the last 75 years for Showtime.
I'm going to say fake news.
You are fake news.
Yeah, he's producing a documentary about himself. But I kid. He's done other things. He did a documentary, produced a documentary about the Tulsa riots. But there will be a documentary next month airing on Showtime about some behind-the-scenes stuff when it comes to Russell Westbrook. And that, Doug. Oh, wait. Real news or fake news? Derek Carr has ascended to the top of my NFL MVP pyramid after week two.
That is real news.
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Yes, check it all out at Dan Byer on Fox and Fox Sports Radio on Twitter.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings as signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA. What did Doc Rivers had to say? Ooh, find out next in Doug Gottlieb Show.